your pastor's absence, I think you're very wise to, and I know Paul was really grateful that y'all saw to it that they were able to go on vacation. I tell you, I've preached just long enough and just enough to find out that a pastor has the most strenuous, the most stressful, and the most difficult occupation there is on the face of the earth. Because it's more than just a job or an occupation. It's like Christ. It is His life. So you're wise to encourage them to, from time to time, get away a little bit. We all need that kind of therapy, don't we, to go on vacation from time to time. It's a good thing. And I spoke with Paul this morning as they were leaving to go to Brother Shelton's to worship in Pensacola. And he said to be sure and remember all of you by them. Now, to introduce my message this morning, the title of which is Remember Me. My dad, my earthly father, died almost 15 years ago. And I tried recently to think of everyone that I could who I thought would remember him. And this is interesting. Do you know that I could only count about 40 people alive today that I felt certain would remember my dad? Now, even if I couldn't think of some, and I'm sure there's some I couldn't or didn't know, but that's still a sad and sobering number, isn't it? In 15 years? And all too soon, there'll be no one left on this earth who remembers him. And this same reality is approaching and awaits every one of us. And I try to tell my children who were born after he died, he didn't know either one of them, I've tried to tell them all about my dad. I tell them stories and things he did, and I say the things that he used to say. But despite all my efforts, they just can't remember him. And there's a good reason why they can't. You see, they never knew him. They never knew him. And you can't remember one who you never met. You can't remember somebody that you never knew. And I'm so very sad this morning. My heart breaks for everyone here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, if you haven't met Christ, if you don't know Him, then you can't remember Him. And I hope by the Holy Spirit this morning that this might be the morning that He introduces Himself to somebody, so that you too then can have the joy that those who have met Him have. And that's every day to remember Him. The Scriptures command us to remember. To remember. It commands us to remember some places and some things and some people. But everything we're commanded to remember in the Scriptures is for the sole purpose of calling to remembrance the Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering places and people and things are only relevant or important as they magnify some attribute of Christ, or as they show, give us some picture of His accomplishments, or as they glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I said, sadly, if you haven't met Him, you can't remember Him. Maybe He'll introduce Himself this morning to someone. Look here in 1 Corinthians 11. And this is the first point of my message, that God commands us to remember. To remember. And first, you know, there was two ordinances that our Lord instituted in His earthly ministry here. The first of which was baptism. And that is the ordinance that by which we identify with Christ. We identify with his death, with his burial, and with his resurrection. And we only do it one time, don't we? Just one time are we baptized, and we are identified with him. But there's another ordinance, a second ordinance that our Lord gave us in his earthly ministry, and that's the one that Terry read in Luke, in the book of Luke, the Lord's table. And how often do we do that? We do it as oft as you come together, don't we? Do it over and over and over again. And what's the purpose of that? Well, look here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do," why? "To remember me." In verse 25, "After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it.'" Why? "In remembrance of me." The purpose of the Lord's table is to remember Christ. And we're commanded over and over again through the Scriptures. Let me show you. I'm going to show you a list of six, seven, eight things. First one is in John 15. You turn there with me. And there's a good reason why we're commanded to remember. We're told, first of all, now, the first thing we're to remember is the Word. And remember, all of these things are only important as they're relevant to remembering Christ. We're to remember these things because they call Christ to remembrance. And the first one is the Word. And the reason we're commanded to remember, you see, is because we so easily forget, don't we? Yeah, the only thing we're to remember is about Christ, as it's revealed in the Word here. And look at John 15, verse 20. This is so clear. It says right there, "Remember the word that I said unto you." Remember the Word. Remember the Word. I tell you, I hope as I lay on my deathbed, I'm like the fellow, the only thing he could remember were the Scriptures he learned. I'll die that way. Remembering the Word. The Word. Because it's what's in this Word is the only thing worth remembering. But secondly, let me show you, turn to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. We're to remember that God is sovereign. Now, I'm going to begin to weave these things together. And you notice how they just fall right on one another. I didn't just sit down and dream these up. When I started looking up this word, remember, boy, these things fall right into line. We're to remember that God is sovereign. God reigns and rules sovereignly over all things and all people. And in Isaiah 46, look at verse 8. "Remember this." That's clear, isn't it? "Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind." That's the same word, remember. Twice he said it now. "Remember, O ye transgressors." A third time, "Remember." What is it we're supposed to remember? The things of old. What is that? "I'm God." He said, "You remember, I'm God. For there's none else." There's no other God. "I am God, and there's none like me." He said, "I'm sovereign. I declare the end from the beginning, from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, 'My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure.'" He says, "You remember that. You remember that." Said, "I'm sovereign God." Turn to Numbers chapter 15. Let me show you the third thing. The third thing that we're called to remember. First, we're to remember the Word. Second, we're to remember that God is sovereign. And then thirdly, we're to remember the commandments of the sovereign God. The sovereign God has the right to demand perfect obedience of his subjects, does he not? And in Numbers 15, look at verse 39. "And it shall be unto you a fringe." Now, what that means, y'all know what a fringe is on something. But the priests in this time wore long robes. And the fringe on the bottom of those robes, you know what it had written on it? The commandments of God. You know why? So as the priest walked around, everybody saw him. It called to mind continually They didn't have any trouble remembering God's commandments. They were right there in front of them all the time. And he says, God says, "And it shall be unto you a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be ye holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God." See, he reminds him again, I'm sovereign. He said, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Now, he's sovereign, and we're to remember his commandments. Now turn to Ephesians 2, and let me show you the fourth thing. And as Terry mentioned in his excellent lesson this morning, that the purpose of the commandments of the law is not to save somebody, it's to show us what we are, that we can't keep that law, that we by nature can't keep those commandments. And that's the next thing we're commanded to remember, is that our condition under the law. You see, in Adam we disobeyed God's commandments, the commandments of the sovereign God, and we're condemned for not obeying his commandments. Look here what it says in Ephesians 2 verse 11. "Wherefore remember," here it is, "remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Remember now that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world." Remember, we're born in this world with no hope, without God. We're aliens. But I like verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And you turn to Deuteronomy 32, and I'll show you the next thing we're to remember. See how these all begin to fit together? God says, "Remember my commandments." He said, "Remember, you can't keep them." And now look at this in Deuteronomy 32. We're to remember that God chose a people. Out of those who could not keep his commandments, he chose a people. Deuteronomy 32, look at verse 7 with me. Verse 7. "Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask your father, and he'll show you, thy elders, and they'll tell you, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." He said, "You remember my commandments. You remember you can't keep them." But he said, "You remember I chose some of you anyway." And now I like this, just a few pages back in Deuteronomy 5. He said, "You remember my redeeming mercy." You see, we were servants to sin, slaves, but he had mercy. He redeemed us by his grace and by his power. In Deuteronomy 5, look at verse 15. "And remember," there's the word, "and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God," see, that we were down there in Egypt, slaves to sin. We weren't asking God to come deliver us. We were content at our sin. But remember, he came and got us anyway. "And that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath." Now what that means is that whenever we come together, we remember Christ. That's what we keep the Sabbath. That's why we come together here. It's not because it's a day or that we're bound up to that per se. No. The reason we want to come together on the Lord's Day is to remember Christ. And then I like this. 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles, you turn over there. He said, "Remember, I chose a people." He said, "I'm going to redeem them." And he said, "I'm going to remember my covenant. That's why I'm going to do it." He's going to remember his covenant. You see, we're redeemed according to this covenant. Salvation is by the work of Christ, and it's according to the covenant. And 1 Chronicles 16, look at verse 12. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel. See, there's his chosen people again. His servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful. That's the same word. Remember always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same as Jacob for a law unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. Remember, it's not based upon anything we've done. I'm glad I don't have to remember what I did. I'm glad I can remember what Christ did. And Christ did it according to his covenant. The covenant that Christ made with his Father. The Father said, I want a people like you, Son. And the Son said, Father, I'll go get them. And I'll die for their sin and put it away. And I'll establish a good life, a righteous life, and give it to them so they can come back and be your people. And they'll be just like you said. I'm going to remember that covenant they made. And then finally here, Psalm 20. Turn there. Lest we forget, let's remember this. In Psalm 20, let's not get so wrapped up in remembering these things, in remembering the commandments, and remembering the doctrine of election, and remembering his redeeming mercy, and remembering the covenant. We do want to remember those things. But let's not get so wrapped up in those that we forget this. In Psalm 20, verse 6, For now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let's remember that it's Christ. I don't care about election. I care about the electing Christ. I don't care so much about the mercy is the Christ that shows mercy. I don't want to get so wrapped up in the covenant that I forget it's the Christ of the covenant. Do we see that? It's in a person. Remember a person. We don't come together here to observe the Lord's table to remember mercy or to remember commandments. We come to remember Christ who is all these things. It's a person. Listen now to something I think you can take home with you. Now, I had you look up a lot of scriptures, but now, even you children, listen to this. You can enter into this and understand these things I'm going to give you here. Listen to this. Y'all ever get tired? Well, I do. Get weary? Well, when you do, remember Christ. He said, come on to me. I'll give you rest. Y'all ever struggle with temptation? Remember Christ. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Has your family cut you off yet, given you over to this cult they think you're in? Well, remember Christ. In him we are joint heirs and the children of God. Does your sinfulness sometimes burden you almost to despair? Remember Christ. He died for sinners. If you've ever thought there's just no way to reach the living God, remember Christ. He is the mediator between men and God. When sickness and pain rack your body, remember Christ. He suffered untold agony at Calvary. Ever wonder why your husband or wife hasn't left you? Or if they will? Well, remember Christ. He's the bridegroom, and we're his bride. He honors all his covenant vows. He'll go with you to the end. When worldly goods woo you, or maybe some luxury you desire eludes you, remember Christ. He is our portion. when we realize how unlovely we are, remember Christ. He's the altogether lovely one. And when there's wars, or like this morning, rumors of wars, when they come, remember Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. When your friends forsake you, remember Christ. He's the friend of sinners. When the justice of God's law overwhelms you, remember that Christ satisfied every jot and tittle of that law. And when your enemies assail you, remember Christ. He's a mighty fortress. And does your lack of faith distress you at times? Well, remember Christ, because He is ever faithful. Do you ever think, I just can't endure this? I just can't do it. Remember that Christ, His mercy endureth forever. And when salvation seems beyond you, well, it is. It is beyond you, but remember, salvation is of the Lord. And do you ever think, what can I do? Just remember Christ. He's already done it all. It's finished. And when you're ready to give up, remember Christ. He'll take you up. His grace is sufficient. And when you think you are nothing and you have nothing, well, you're thinking right. But remember Christ. He is all and in all. You see, the Lord's table is so precious to us and so sweet because it's a dedicated time of remembering Christ. And let me tell you, the next best thing to being with Christ is remembering Christ. And He had the wisdom and foreknowledge to command us to do it in His Word for that reason. There's great joy in remembering Christ. You want joy in this life? Remember Christ. The next best thing to being with Him is remembering Him. But before I leave this point, I must give you three solemn warnings. We're commanded to remember three categories of people. This is sobering now. God in His Word said, remember Miriam. This is the woman, you see, who withstood Moses to his face. And He said, remember Amalek. And it was Amalek who led the Amalekites to sneak up behind and attack God's people. And He said, remember Edom. You see, Edom led the Edomites flew right in the face of God's people and attacked them. And then He said, you remember this one. He said, remember Lot's wife. She's the one, you see, who turned her back on the gospel. Now, talk about unusual punishments, too. If somebody turned into a pillar of salt this morning, I don't suppose we'd soon forget it. So let's remember, and I don't want to depart from the gospel. That's what that warning's about. And the Amalekites and Edomites, I tell you, we better not attack God's people. We better not do that. We better not do that. The punishment they got was that God destroyed the Amalekites and Edomites, destroyed them and their children and their children's children and their cattle and their beasts. Destroyed them all. And then Miriam, I tell you, we better not attack God's preacher. We better watch what we say about God's prophet. And also, do you remember what it was Miriam was being so critical about? It was Moses' wife. Moses married a woman from Ethiopia. And it didn't suit well with her that Moses had the audacity to marry a black woman. So she was critical of that. And I tell you what, we better not criticize Nancy Bird or Mindy Mahan or Martha Richardson. We better watch what we say now. I mean, that's a pretty solemn warning. And it got all. She just spoke up about Moses' wife, and God Almighty made her a leper on the spot, made the flesh start rotting off her body while she stood there. So let that say what it says to us. Let's not be critical of God's prophet. Let's not attack God's people. And let's not turn our back on the gospel. That's a solemn warning, isn't it? Solemn warning. But now let's go on here to turn to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And let me show you something here. I like this. My first point was that God commands us to remember some things. But let me show you that God promises to remember. He promises to remember something. And keep in mind, understand that God not only knows everything, He has the capacity to remember everything. So why should He tell us in His Word that He specifically remembers this one essential thing? Well, He tells us that He remembers because He knows we'll forget. Isn't that a good reason? He says, listen, it's all right. He said, when you forget, He said, I'll still remember. I like that. Ezekiel 16, verse 60. Let's see what it is. We're going to find out He remembers His covenant, the one I told you about. Verse 60 of Ezekiel 16. Nevertheless, even though you forget, He said, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed. By the way, if we get to dwelling and remembering stuff we did, what happens? I just get ashamed every time I think about everything I ever did. So let's not remember that. Let's not remember that. God says, don't dwell on that. He said in verse 62, and I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded and never open thy mouth anymore because of thy shame. You see, we don't open our mouths about what we did. We just remember Christ and we'll talk about what He did. We'll praise Him for what He's done. And look now at Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. And that's a brief point, but one worth making, you see, because God says, I'll remember my covenant forever. But the third point here I want us to see, well, let's look up one more scripture before we go to the third point. Look at Leviticus chapter 26. God says He'll remember His covenant with Christ to redeem us and with us in Christ. Leviticus 26, verse 42. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I'll remember the land. And then look at verse 45. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. You notice He just keeps over and over again saying, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I'm sovereign. You know why He keeps doing that? So you and I'll understand that this covenant God Almighty made with Christ that He's going to remember forever, nobody's going to break that covenant. Nobody. Not Satan, not the forces of hell, not you, not me, not anybody. The covenant's going to stand now. Christ has come. He's died. He's put away the sin of His people. He's given them this righteousness. He's seated. He's risen. He's seated at the right hand of God Almighty. And He's just waiting there. He's got His feet ready to prop up on a footstool of all who would oppose this covenant. And He's going to bring it to pass now. He says, I'm going to remember it. I'm going to remember it. Now, Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, and I'll show you the third thing here, third point, which is that God will not remember something. There's something God will not remember. And that's amazing since He could remember everything, isn't it? He's the all-knowing, all-omnipotent God. A sovereign God could know everything, could remember everything. So why would He tell us there's something He won't remember? I'm glad. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, He says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. Oh, he won't remember our sin. And just a page over Isaiah 44, verse 21, he says, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel, and thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Oh, I like that. Did you hear that? He said, I'll forget your sins, but he said, I won't forget you. Did you see that? Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. In verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed you. He said, I won't forget you, but I'll forget your sin. And turn to Hebrews 10. I'm going to show it to you one more time. I want to be sure you don't miss this. I want to be sure you don't get just the bad news this morning, that we're sinners. I want you to get the good news. The good news here in Hebrews 10, verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I don't know how God Almighty is going to do that. But he said, I'm going to take your sin and throw it behind my back. He said, as far as the east is from the west, I'll separate you from your sin. And I tell you what, I believe if he says he won't remember it, why should I? Why should I? Why should you and I sit around and remember all the stuff we've done when in fact there's so much that Christ has done we could remember? Let's dwell on that. He says in verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sins. Having their... remember our sins as they're not in his sight anymore. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary and that blood flowed down, it covered our sins. And that's the one thing God doesn't see through is the blood of his son. If it's not in his sight, he says, I just don't remember it. It's gone. It's clean gone. My sin is put away by Jesus Christ. Turn to Psalm 106. And this is my last point. It's in the form of a question. How can I get God to remember me? I want him to forget my sin, but I want him to remember me. How can I make that happen? If God remembers me, it means I'll know Christ and can then remember Christ. Let me show you what some people in the Scriptures did. Let's start with David. David was a man after God's own heart. And it's obvious that Christ knew David, isn't it? That Christ remembered David. Well, what did David do? Look in Psalm 106, verse 4. David said, remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, O visit me with thy salvation. Now notice David didn't say, remember what I did. Remember when I was a boy, I took those five rocks and I went out there and I slung one up and killed that Goliath. Remember that, Lord. Is that what he said? Did he say, remember all those Philistines I killed, Lord? Did he say, remember me going down and getting the ark, Lord, and I brought it back? Is that what he said? He said, remember all the good stuff I did, Lord. No, because, you see, he didn't also want to bring up that maybe the Lord ought to remember Bathsheba and what David did to Uriah the Hittite. I don't want the Lord to remember anything I did, because the best I did is unprofitable. It's filthy rags. I don't want him remembering that. No, David said, remember me, Lord. You see this? Remember me, Lord, with the favor that you bring on your people in Christ. That's what he's saying. Visit me with your salvation. And the salvation he visits with is the blood of Christ. Remember that, Lord. And another example would be Samson. Most of us remember Samson because he was strong, right? And then we remember that he got his hair all cut off and his eyes burned out and he got chained up in the temple. That's where he wound up by his own strength, isn't it? Huh? But do you know what happened when Samson was chained up there? When all the priests of Baal and all the Philistines came together there. Do you know what happened? Samson cried out. You know what he cried? You look it up. Samson said, "Remember me, Lord! Remember me!" And his strength returned. And he pulled down those pillars, and it says Samson slew more in his death than he did in his life. And how about Hannah? She was barren. She had no children. She wanted life in her. She wanted life. And she prayed. You know what she prayed? She said, "Oh Lord, remember me." And she bore a son, Samuel, one of God's choice prophets. And Hezekiah laid on his deathbed, a dying man, and he rolled over to the wall. And do you know what he prayed? "Remember me, Lord." And he got new life, didn't he? The Lord gave him 15 years. And Job was sitting in the dust, wrecked and ruined and covered with boils. He'd lost everything he had. And do you know what he cried? He said, "Appoint me a set time, Lord, and remember me." And God gave him double for all he'd lost. And Abigail, you remember Abigail? Abigail was the wife of the fellow named Nabal, who David, fleeing from Saul, sent word down to this rich farmer, Nabal, and said, "Send us something to eat." And Nabal said, "You go fly a kite, David." David said, "Okay, buddy." And he strapped on his sword and took his men to go down there and kill them all, to the last man, woman, and child. And Nabal's wife, Abigail, came running out there to meet David, and she bowed down. You know what she said? She said, "When the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord," meaning David, she said, "remember thine handmaid. Remember me." And you know what? David did remember her. When her husband died, you know what David did? David sent his servant to go fetch Abigail and brought her back and he married her. He remembered her well enough to make her his wife. And one more here. Turn to Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. Do you see a pattern here? Anybody see a pattern here? I tell you what, if we get in a big enough mess, if we get desperate enough, if we see ourselves as the sinners we are in the face of a holy God, we'll cry out. We'll cry out for mercy. We'll ask God Almighty to remember us. Let me give you this example. About 2,000 years ago, there was a man. He was tired and weary, all right. And this man had long before given over to temptation. This man, well, his family had abandoned him. And he knew and even admitted that he was a terrible sinner. He thought God was out of reach for him, and his body was racked with pain, excruciating pain. And I suppose if he had a wife, she'd have longed out, long ago left him, I'm sure. And he knew he was unlovely. And the wooing of this world's goods had led him into thievery. And the justice of man's law caught up with him. And the holy justice of God's law was about to catch up with him. If he had any friends, they'd forsaken him. And his enemies were assailing him. Unable to endure the wrath of man, the just wrath of God terrified him. Salvation seemed impossible, unattainable to this man. After all, what could he do now for God? His hands were nailed on a cross and his feet were nailed. He couldn't walk for God. He couldn't do anything for God. And seeing he was nothing and that he had nothing, he was ready to give up and die. When he looked and saw a man, and above that man's head was written, "This is the King of the Jews." And do you know what he cried out? He said, "Lord," he said, "remember me. When you come into your kingdom, remember me." And what do you suppose our Lord said to this one? He said to him the same thing he'll say to you. If you'll just cry out, "Remember me, Lord. Have mercy on me." He said here in Luke 22, you see it in verse 42. Luke 23, verse 42. "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." In essence, our Lord said, when I'm there, my Father, he'll forget your sin, but we're going to remember you, and we're going to bring you where we are. And our Lord died. He said that to him and died. And I don't know how many minutes or hours that thief lived after that before he died. But I know what he spent his time doing. He spent his time remembering Christ. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. And anyone here this morning who hasn't met Christ, I think I'd cry out what these folks did. I'd say, "Lord, remember me." And you glance at Ecclesiastes 12 with me, and I'll close with this. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I recently had a great uncle. It might have been a great great uncle. I sort of lost track. He was 94 years old, Uncle Everett was, and he died recently. And at the funeral, they were telling stories, as we're wont to do, about folks who died. And his wife was saying that just a real few weeks before, he'd gone to town to take care of some business. And she said he came back after a while, and she said, "Did you get everything done?" And she said he sat down with the greatest look of dismay on his face. And he said, "Honey," he said, "I got to town," he said, "and I couldn't remember why I went. So I just came home." Now, that's going to happen right soon with all of us. Some of you see signs of it already, I suppose, like I do. Well, you look here in Ecclesiastes 12 at what the Scripture says. Ecclesiastes 12. Verse 1. Do you see what it says here? Remember now. Boy, that's a big word. Remember now. If I couldn't remember him because I hadn't met him, I don't believe I'd put it off till tomorrow. Because tomorrow, you may have a stroke tonight, and you can't even remember your own name, or where you've been, or where you're going. I believe it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There'll come a time he'll leave you alone. He won't call you to remembrance. We better remember Christ soon, because soon it'll be too late. It'll be just like my dad. You'll be gone, and nobody here to remember. But that's no big deal. It's no big deal. My niece of 20, 22 I guess now, is the youngest person I could think of who would have ever met my dad. She'll be gone soon. I was 20 yesterday, it seems like. And I'm 46 now. She'll be gone soon. And it's no big deal if no one here remembers you. But, oh, it's too awful to consider that Christ would say, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't remember you. We never met. I believe I'd sue for mercy this morning. I believe I'd cry out and say, Lord, remember me. remember me. Well, we'll close with a hymn now. Joe, if you've got one selected for us.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Number 233, Depth of Mercy. Number 233, stand with me and we'll sing the first and the second stanza. Number 233, first and the second, Depth of Mercy.